today, we are going to talk about eczema. But because of the law, I have to say that I'm not a doctor. I'm not your doctor. And this is for informational purposes only, because this is my journey. This is what I did to heal my eczema naturally, my full body eczema breakout naturally. I did a lot of stuff on this journey. Some wild, like you're going to be like, did she really do that? And some things you might just have not thought about. So let's talk about it. So I guess the best place to start is at the beginning. So in about 2019, early 2019, it just appeared out of nowhere, this like small itchy dot on my wrist. I thought it was my detergent. I thought it might have been sweaters, like just like irritating it. I went to my doctor. He said, change your, you know, laundry detergent and change some of the things that you use on your skin and see where we get. Nothing works. So we, you know, I continue to live my life. I do that. And another one appears on my legs. It's even itchier. And then another patch appears on my back, and that's itchy. So I go back to the doctor and I'm like, yo, help. What's happening? They're popping up everywhere. Like, do I have cancer? Is this something that I use a cream for? Like, what's going on? Like, help me. I was like, can we run some blood work? I asked. And so we ran some blood work and he said, everything's fine. Everything's in range. And I was like, okay, that sounds wrong, but okay. So I continued my life doing what I normally did. And, you know, I have to be honest, the life of in a 20s spent going to music festivals and partying and drinking and, I mean, doing all kinds of things just finally caught up with me. I think that I had battered my body with like little to no, you know, backlash. I mean, if hangovers, but otherwise my health had been fine up to this point. Nonetheless, within about 8 to 9 months, I was covered from my neck to my ankles, the back of my arms, the front of my arms, my stomach, my back, my lower back, my upper back, the back of my knees, my elbows, just everywhere from my neck to my ankles. So when I tell this story and when I tell you what I did, it's not like I had a tiny patch here or a tiny patch there and like I was all good. No, babes. I was not all good. I completely identify with the people that, and those of you that are out there right now that are struggling with eczema and you've been told everything is fine. So I went back to my doctor and I was like, hey, now I'm covered. And he's like, you know what? I actually don't know what these are. Let's go to a dermatologist. So I was like, oh, I'll get a reference. I had to be covered in order for this to go down. So anyways, some angst. So I go to the dermatologist and she says, this is eczema. Wow. Yeah. You have it really bad. I'm like, I don't know how you're surviving. Let me write you a prescription for this cream. And so I said, is there anything else that I can be doing that is going to help this out? Because I need some help. I've already been prescribed this cream and it's just not working. She's like, well, don't use it longer than 2 weeks because, you know, it could be bad for you. But it's like, babe, do you want me to just shut off the eczema for a week in between every 2 weeks? I don't know if you know that's not how it works. So anyways, I'm going along my way and I finally started acupuncture and, you know, was told to give up dairy, to give up gluten, which I did happily because I just wanted relief. But everything I ate seemed to make me itch. Everything. I would have a raspberry, itchy. Blueberries, itchy. I would have like Thai food, itchy, not spicy Thai food, things that I made myself. Itchy, itchy, itchy. I would wake up in the middle of the night to itch. Like it was just, it was insane. I don't know what was going on. And I was starting to get really scared. I was like, am I like just gonna have to live like this for the rest of my life? And when I went to my doctor again, and this is shortly before the pandemic began, I went to my doctor and I said, can we run blood work again? Because I feel like if it's getting worse, whatever we were looking at on the blood work was like not the thing to be looking at. And exasperatedly, because I heard a come out of him, he said, all right, And I said, can you also look for H. pylori? And he's like, ooh, why? And I was like, well, H. pylori can lead to, you know, things like eczema, things like itching, all of that. And he had to look it up on his computer in his little office exam room there. And so that was like a really big red flag where I was like, oh, shit, I think this might be on me. Because this guy doesn't seem to know what's going on. So anyway, he exasperatedly did the blood work. I didn't hear from him for like 2-3 weeks. And I get it. You have a lot of people to juggle as a doctor. There's a lot of people that you have to consider. But also the fact that it would in my chart say that we've done blood work a lot. I'm feeling a lot of like irritation and it's like disrupting my life. You feel like I would get a phone call back being like, no, we didn't find H. pylori. We, you know, like just something, some aftercare, you know, a little bit of aftercare. Anywhoomst, I did not hear from him. We're now 2 weeks into the pandemic. Like, we're home now. And I just call his office because he was still doing like office hours. And I'm like, hey, did anything come up on the blood work? And he was like, no. It's like, I would have called you if anything did. And that was when I was like, okay, this has to be up to me. And I just completely removed him from the equation. He can look at my, you know, south mouth, my nether regions and check up down there when every 3 years as I go and do it. But other than that, I realized that this is just not his field of potential expertise. Maybe he just doesn't care. Maybe he is checked out. I don't know. I it's not up to me to know. But what I did know was that it was now up to me to start healing this because the cream isn't working. It's disrupting my life. It's like making me wake up in the night. I'm like crying myself to sleep about it. That's when I was like, I think it's time for me to take the reins. I think as with anything, you know, discovery related when it comes to your health, there's a lot of shots in the dark that you take. And one of the, you know, things that I did was I started a low salicylate diet. So I discovered that low salicylates or salicylates can be really, you know, irritating to people who have eczema and it can cause more outbreaks. So when I read that, I was like, all right, salicylates are out, like, see ya. And then I looked at the list of foods that you can't eat when you are a low salicylate diet. And I, as a chef, had to give up almost every single food. Like, I encourage you, just for jokes, to go and look and see what has salicylates in it. I promise you it's everything. And as a chef, oh my God, I had to give up every single food. So I was like cooking on TV. I'm making recipes for clients. I'm getting people excited about food that I couldn't even eat. And when I tell you it was one of the darkest times in my life, like I left places crying because I was like, I'm hungry. I have to eat. Everything has a salicylate or many in them. And I'm trying to heal my body. Like I don't want to live in like pain and discomfort anymore. And so I gave up everything. You can't even drink wine. I could only drink like tequila and vodka. And this was when everyone was drinking wine in the afternoon and having those fun little boozy wine afternoons. And I was stuck drinking like tequila celery sodas. Anyways, and I got too lit. And so it just wasn't right for me. So I just like stopped drinking. But it's not that it wasn't about necessarily having to stop drinking. It was just like I stopped being able to participate in food. And that is such a big part of my life. And so while I was doing that, I was feeling like, oh my God, do I have to eat like this for the rest of my life? Because that would be insane. And this was just like the top level thing that I did. And this is what everyone does, is we give up food that we think is bad. We start to view food as like good and bad and scary. And it's like, I could like well up the fact that I was just like so scared to eat things. I was just like, I don't want to eat that because even if it tastes good, it's going to hurt me so bad later. And I just like realized that there had to be more to it than this. Food wasn't supposed to make me scared. It wasn't supposed to literally 2 years later make me well up. It's not supposed to make me like itch. Food is like something that we are meant to take pleasure in, but it's also very purposeful in our lives. And I was like, this can't be correct. It simply cannot. So I had a client And bless her, Little Love Lifestyle on Instagram. Her name is Jenny. She's amazing. And she said, listen to this podcast about, sorry, I'm getting emotional. Listen to this podcast about vitamin D. And I listened to it and I was like, oh my God, that sounds exactly like what I am experiencing right now. And the reason I'm welling up is because it just like changed my life. It was one of those things where you get just like one, just like nugget of information that changes completely everything. And I'm so grateful for that. Happy tears, of course. But anyway, she sent me this email, or she sent me this like note on Instagram. And so I was like, vitamin D. And I listened to this podcast and I was like, holy shit, this is everything. And so I listened to that whole podcast, like through and through, like everything he had to talk about. And so I listened to that podcast, like listened to every single episode and just implemented every single thing. And like within 2 weeks' time, everything changed. Like no breakouts, no itch. They were going away. They weren't raised. I was sleeping through the night. Like it was like, honestly, I remember feeling like alive. Like I was like, oh my God, like I can eat food again. I can drink wine with my friends again. I can enjoy one of the biggest things that I take like pleasure in life again. Anyways, and I wasn't feeling pain. It's like I could have both things. I was having my cake and eating it too. Anywhoomst. So I'm going to tell you about all of the things that I learned. I am going to collect myself because I think I need to a little bit. And we are going to talk about all the things that I did to have an eczema glow up. The Glow Up Tips for the Girls podcast is brought to you by the Glucose Glow Up, the community for those who want to reverse insulin resistance and heal their PCOS naturally. Join now for access to 3 video workshops, monthly live events, and more being added every single month, over 35 recipes to help you balance your blood sugar naturally. Head to theglucoseglowup.com and glow up your glucose to glow up your life. So what I was saying before I, you know, needed to collect myself was that vitamin D changed my life. Finding out about it, starting to take it, it like revolutionized how my body was like feeling. I didn't even know some things were feeling out of whack until they weren't feeling out of whack. And so the thing about vitamin D is it's both a hormone, it behaves as a hormone, and it's also a vitamin. And when we are deficient in vitamin D, oh my God, so many bad things can happen. I mean, they say like multiple sclerosis. They talk about, you know, fertility issues, having, you know, being related to having vitamin D issues. And I mean, skin problems, psoriasis, eczema, the like. And so taking vitamin D is so important, especially if you live in northern climates. I live in Toronto, but I was born in Edmonton. It is one of the northernmost metropolitan cities in the world. It was once colder in a winter there than it was in Siberia. So you don't get out much in the wintertime. So if you live in a northern climate, even in like Chicago or something where you're pretty bundled up, your skin's not getting that much vitamin D on it and sunlight on it, you want to be taking it as a supplement. And the amount that you would take would, again, you know, solely depend on you. But the thing about vitamin D is if you take vitamin D and you just take vitamin D, you can create other deficiencies in your body. One of them being magnesium. Magnesium is, again, so important. And like most of the world's population walks around deficient in magnesium. That means you're not sleeping well. It means you get leg cramps. It means you get headaches. It means you're tense. It means a lot of things that aren't good. And if you don't have enough magnesium, vitamin D is going to struggle to function optimally in your body because you need magnesium for the conversion of vitamin D in your body. Without it, you're not getting the full potential of the vitamin D, and you're also depleting your magnesium reserves if you even have any. And I, as a person who didn't supplement with magnesium / stayed out of the sun, I was always out of the sun. I don't like being in direct sunlight. I say that I wilt in direct sunlight. I love being out in sunshine and warmth, but in the shade. It's where you can find me. But that being said, so I had years of not getting natural vitamin D, not supplementing with vitamin D, and also being in a northern climate. So you can imagine the deficiency. And I also wasn't supplementing with magnesium. So those are the two things that made an immediate difference. I even went to the point of, you know, having like magnesium salt baths, like the whole vibe. I actually went to a spa and they had this like huge salt float pool. And I floated in that. And when I got out of that, my skin felt amazing. And this was like maybe a week and a half into the vitamin D magnesium supplementation. I was like, what is happening? And so I just, you know, I took the spa home. I just started doing magnesium salt baths at home. And that made a world of difference as well. I don't know if it was because of getting, I was getting outside and inside, or if the actual topical magnesium was also leading to just like less inflammation topically on my skin. I don't know. But that's what I did. And it worked really, really well. And as a former shade lover, I now try to get out. I mean, it's, you know, we're kicking off the winter months here. So it's getting harder and harder to be outside. But, you know, when I was, you know, enjoying the Toronto summertime, I was trying to be in the sun at least 10 minutes a day. And I don't really like sunscreen. So I just made it at most 10 minutes a day. The rest of the time I was, you know, in the shade or, you know, blocked somehow. But everyone needs magnesium. Everyone needs vitamin D. And those are the two things that like just changed how I felt and like made the journey going forward just so much more, you know, I think it was like more ease was involved, meaning I wasn't like, this thing has to work. Oh my God, this thing has to work. And also stressing myself out and, you know, putting so much pressure on this one thing. It just, I felt relief. So I could actually look at things with a clear head as opposed to a head that was just like, I need this to be fixed today. Like I can't live like this, like that energy versus being like, I feel good, but I also still need to know what the heck is going on inside. That was the vibe. And that's more of a vibe, I think, that's conducive of healing. Because one thing I really had to come to terms with was that this was going to be resolved. You know, this was going to be resolved from a place of love and loving my body and trusting my body and like being more in tune and intuitive with what's going on with my body and taking like that agency back, as opposed to feeling really combative, like you suck, I'm going to fix you because you're broken. Like it just like couldn't be that energy. Like I couldn't do it anymore. And when I started taking the vitamin D and the magnesium and feeling all of this relief, like I wasn't itching, you know, I wasn't getting any more breakouts, and the ones that I had were like going down and itching like far, far, far less. I was like, oh, now I have a more clear head. I'm not just like thinking about pain, and I can think of the things and be really rational about the things that I'm going to try and whether they will actually work for me or not. One of the things that is super intangible, you can't feel it. I mean, you can see it, but you can't really feel it, is stress. Like you can't, that's like a weird way to say that, but you can see stress on a person, but it's not like stress walks around or like, it's like, oh, you have a stress on your body. Like that's not what stress is, but it is so involved in this whole eczema, skin healing, body healing vibe. And stress in so many ways. Like, do you have emotional stress, emotional trauma? Are there things that you have to deal with that are not being dealt with? I know that for myself, there are a lot of truths I had to tell myself. There are a lot of things I had to be honest with about myself, and a lot of like boundaries I had to set with myself and other people, and things I just had to own up to as far as like responsibility taking in my life. And if you've listened to, you know, the fundamentals of growing up and, you know, the boundary glow up, you will know exactly kind of what I'm talking about. But having to take responsibility for the person and the life that I was living, it was really confronting for me. But it meant I had to have conversations that I had to have had for years. And having them released this like just sort of low-grade stress that was on my life because there were all these things left unsaid that I was holding. That's like so bad for you and so bad for all of us. And so when I released that, I also was able to set boundaries about, you know, how I want to be treated, how I want to feel, how I've allowed myself to be treated in the past. Like there was just so much of an emotional connection that had to be worked through stuff that happened in my childhood. Like, therapy is such a vibe. I believe in it so much because it really does help you, a good therapist, of course. It really does help you unlock some of those things that have nothing to do with food or lifestyle or, you know, any of that. And it's just that thing that's there that until you move through it, you're going to continually be sick. And that I can't, like, I wanted to start this segment saying that because I think that's such an important thing that has to be done. And that was something that I started to do very early on in this journey, as it were, mostly because it was the pandemic. What the fuck else was I doing? You know what I mean? I was sitting at home thinking about my life, you know, trying to heal, trying to do all these things. And I just realized that, like, healing my skin meant that I had to also heal my heart and heal my spirit and do a lot of other healing at the same time. And that, I think, helps your body and, like, my just, like, person become more open to a healing journey, like, on a holistic level, healing everything. So that sounds a little bit woo-woo, but, like, I just feel like that was a really important part of my journey, and that's what we're here to talk about. Okay, so if you are intermittent fasting, if you are doing it for religious reasons, please go ahead. I love that for you, and I'm in this, you know, bracket, I'm not talking necessarily about that. But if you are intermittent fasting because you believe it is going to, you know, help your hormones, it's going to help you lose weight, and it is not working currently, and you are still experiencing symptoms or maybe a worsening of experience, you need to stop doing it. Your body is giving you clear signs that it is not for you. It does work for people. It works for a lot of men because that's where most of the research was done. It works for a lot of postmenopausal women, and that's beautiful. But if you don't fall into those categories and you are intermittent fasting for the purpose of potentially healing PCOS or maybe insulin resistance, and you skew to a female hormones side of things, then you might need to just, like, renegotiate, reanalyze the path that you've chosen, simply because it can cause a stress response. So if you get up in the morning and you're hungry, your body's hungry, you are like, oh my God, I wish I could eat, but I can't because I'm intermittent fasting. I can't eat till noon, or I can't eat till 10, or I can't eat till whenever. And you are in that state. Cortisol is being created. Ghrelin, which is also like a hunger hormone, is being created, which means that when you do finally eat, you might make bad choices. But you are starting to release a cortisol response. That is a stress hormone. When that hormone is being created out of whack, so in the morning in excess because you don't eat, that is going to spiral down to your sex hormones, your estrogen, your testosterone, your insulin, all the things. And so instead, what you need to do is wake up. And within an hour of waking up, you want to have something that has protein, that has fat, that has fiber. You want to have, like, a complete setup so that you are giving your body what it needs so that it is not in a stress state and therefore able to consider and even deal with healing skin, but that you're also giving it nourishment to be able to do so as well. The thing about stress is that when our body is in fight or flight, when our body thinks, like, holy shit, is this going to go on forever? Like, I got to stay ready. If that is what your body is doing, it simply does not have it for healing your eczema, for having clear skin, for not getting migraines, for not any of that. And so if it's working for you, by all means, continue to do it because it works for you. But if you're doing it and it's not working for you, you need to try something else. And I know for myself, who was dealing with a lot of stuff, gut stuff, glucose stuff, intermittent fasting was simply making me worse. I would wake up ravenous and it would take everything I had in my being to not eat until, like, my fasting window sort of, like, closed. That was just causing me stress, and I didn't need it because stress also causes inflammation. And what is eczema and psoriasis and all those things? It is inflammation. And so, look, I would suggest if you are on the path to eczema healing and that's what you want to do and you're trying to do it naturally and you're trying to take a page out of my book, because remember, not a doctor, not your doctor, just my journey, then I would start eating breakfast. It's just something that I would do. I would also encourage you to look at your sleep hygiene. Just, like, are you getting good sleep? Is it good quality? Is it you know, making you feel energized? Like, do you wake up in the morning and you're like, yeah, let's get the day started, I'm excited? Or do you get up in the morning and you're groggy and it's like, oh yeah, I can't do it? Or you woke up in the middle of the night consistently? Then you need to be thinking about how you can remedy those situations. Sleep is very important. And again, I feel like I was sort of lucky that a lot of these things that I implemented, I was able to do during the pandemic when we were all just like home anyway. I'm from Toronto, that's where I live. And there it was, we had like the longest lockdown like in the world, it felt like anyway, but we had long lockdowns. And so I had a lot of opportunity to, you know, sleep, get a hold of my sleep hygiene, understand what was keeping me up at night and how to remedy those things so that I was actually sleeping better and waking up in the morning feeling energized as opposed to waking up in the morning and feeling really tired and, you know, not about it. And so looking at how you sleep is important because there's so much that happens in our body, in our spirit, in our mind, in our thoughts when we're sleeping. But we have to get to that like deep, deep, deep sleep. So focus on blood sugar. If you wake up in the middle of the night consistently between like 3 and 4 a.m. Or like 2 and 4 a.m., I would suggest to you to have like a little tiny snack, like a little square of cheese before you go to bed, because a fat-rich snack that has a little bit of protein is going to keep your blood sugar so that it doesn't drop low in the night, release cortisol, therefore waking you up, making you feel like you have to pee because it feels like it's morning. You won't have that low blood sugar drop, and therefore you'll sleep through the night and wake up in the morning at a normal time to pee. This works. Try it. Don't come at me if you were told not to eat before bed. I mean, try it. Because that, again, was one of those things where I was like, oh my God, that little one thing changed my life. Just getting sleep, feeling like waking up and feeling like I'm ready to go for the day, like I feel like I have energy, was and continues to be a game changer. So I think that if you are thinking about the stress in your life, if you're thinking about how do I get a hold of that intangible that is the stress? Like, oh my God, how do I fix the thing that I can't really see in a way? You have to do a stress audit. You have to do an audit of all the things in your life that bring you stress, work, the people, the things in your home. Like, is it laundry? Is it this or is it that? And figuring out, or is it like not having that, had that conversation with so-and-so? Is it, you know, not finally going to therapy to talk about, you know, the stuff that happened in your childhood, whatever. You need to get a hold of that as well. And also make sure that you aren't making your body more stressed than it needs to be. Another thing that I just stopped doing because my naturopath said I could, was stop exercising intensely. So, well, I actually just stopped exercising because the stress that can happen when you exercise can also cause inflammation. I would itch so much after I'd work out. So I was like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and de-stress completely. So I didn't work out for a year. I mean, do with that information what you must. I'm not really someone who like loves working out. I do because I need to. So take that little nugget that I gave you with a grain of salt if that doesn't apply to you. That being said, it was just another source of stress in my body that I didn't want to bring to my body. So I started walking and doing things like that. So stress is so damaging to us. It's damaging to, I think, our like spirit, but it's also just damaging to our body straight up. It makes it so that anything that you're doing to improve your health, whether you have a serious health condition or something that's just mild, it makes it so that what you're doing is going to have less of an impact because your body is dealing with that stress and just doesn't have it for what you're asking it to do. So do a stress audit. Figure out what you need to do to get the stress you have managed. It's not going to go away because we live in the 21st century, in like the heart of it. We are in the low moment of it. So you got to do what you got to do to manage the stress. Acne isn't from dirty skin, and eczema isn't from something on your skin. Skin is healed from the inside out. In the skin class, I'm going to share how I healed my eczema naturally, from what I wish I knew before I started on this healing journey, my daily eczema healing routine, and every single product I used on and in my body, recipes, including my homemade skin healing salve. This class will leave you feeling seen and like you finally have a real plan to heal. Head to biancaosborne.com/go/the skin class to join now. So my gut was a mess, an absolute shambles, truly. And probably because of all the stress that I had. I mean, I moved to Toronto when I was, you know, well into my adulthood. I had to close down a life and move with like no money. And that was really, really stressful. I also partied away my money and my 20s. And that caused a lot of just like stress on my body. When I say party, I want you to envision the most raucous. I put things in my body that I certainly do not now. And this impacts the liver, it impacts the gut, it impacts like so many different things. And also, again, having the stress of being in a new city, having all these big dreams and goals, and just, you know, it's spinning you out. I had all of this stress on my body, and it was impossible for my gut, which is like the center of a vital body, resides in your gut and in your liver. If those two things are off, I mean, other than your heart, obviously, and your brain. But if those two things are off, you are going to be feeling terrible. You'll be going through life feeling just unwell completely. And so you cannot heal all of that unwellness going on in your gut and in your liver if stress is not also looked at. So again, I repeat, get a hold of the stress, get a therapist, you know, start meditating, go to yoga, take daily pensive walks, whatever it is, you need to get a hold of that, because it'll kill you. Stress kills. It really does. I'm not even being facetious. But one thing I know for sure about stress is that if you have it, it is making you feel sicker than you need to. Now, when everyone talks about gut health, they talk about probiotics, and those are great. I take probiotics every single day. Probiotics, like, forever, for life. I believe in them. That being said, it's part of the equation. So probiotics, they eat. They need food. They need nourishment as well. The gut flora in your body also needs to have food of its own. And so that's where prebiotics come in. I will always say to people that supplements are meant to supplement what you're already doing. So hopefully you're doing things that are in support of your end goal. So taking a probiotic, but still doing the things that are irritating your gut, still eating things that potentially are currently irritating your gut, all of that is going to make probiotics very ineffective in a lot of ways. That being said, if you're doing all the things and you're taking a probiotic, consider either eating probiotic foods, onions, asparagus are probiotic foods. There's like a whole list, or taking, you know, supplement form. I kind of like, my vibe with supplements is that if I can get it from a food source in an amount that's like reasonable to consume daily, or however many times I need to take it to meet my values, I prefer to get it in a food form, because then you generally get, you know, maybe you'll get protein, maybe you'll get fat, you'll probably get fiber, you know, like just looking at where you can get other things, get more bang for your buck. So probiotics, you know, take the pill and maybe eat probiotic foods, or prebiotic foods rather, because then you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. But again, when it comes to gut health, one of the things that I say in the Gut Glow Up, it is one of the programs in the Glucose Glow Up, my membership community. One of the things that I say is that when you are healing your gut, you got to be easy on it. I think a lot of times when people are like, oh, I have sluggish digestion, or, oh, you know, like I have diarrhea or whatever, like they want to hit it hard. They want to like Metamucil. They want to do all the things. It's like, sometimes it's about being easy and not like stressing your body out. You know, cook your foods. No more like hardcore raw salads with kale. Like, start cooking your vegetables. Be easy so that what your body isn't like, oh my God, fighting for its life, also trying to digest food and heal. And so sometimes it's not necessarily about what it is, it's about how it is. So yes, you want to eat more vegetables because that is going to promote, you know, good glucose balance in your body, certainly, but it's also going to help with your gut and help with, you know, movement and transition time and detoxification, but also you want to do it in a way that's easy on it, and cooking your food and warming your food up definitely helps ease the digestive vibe. As far as the liver is concerned, and I like had to do a lot of work on my liver just because like I said, I punished it. I had a great time, but it was very punishing on my body. And the liver is something that I continue to, you know, optimize. One of the things I love are castor oil packs. I will put a link in the show notes to the castor oil pack that I like. It's from Queen of Thrones. It's amazing. You can also make your own castor oil pack, but castor oil, it helps to increase smooth muscle contractions, and it penetrates the skin. So you just put it where you want it to work, and it works. Castor oil packs are used for endometriosis. They're used for fibroids. But here's the thing about castor oil packs is because it is helping the body detox and remove and, you know, break up tissue, like it's powerful stuff. If your detox pathways are not prepared to detox and remove the things that are being removed from other areas of your body, it's actually not a good thing. So when you do start doing castor oil packs, because I very much encourage you to do it, especially if you're really struggling with eczema, I would start on your liver for about a month. You know, start doing all of these things I'm talking about, you know, probiotics, prebiotics. You are, you know, warming up your food, you're eating more vegetables, you know, you're drinking things like bone broth that have collagen to heal the gut. You're like starting to have like good bowel movements. Like, make sure that those things are in place before you start using castor oil packs on other parts of your body. Because if your detox pathways aren't ready for the things you're detoxing and to get them out, then, you know, it just kicks around even longer. So that's something that's really important. Another thing is you want to clean up your personal care products. Like, your personal care routine is one of the dirtiest things you're going to do in a day. And dirty meaning that it's a lot for your liver to have to deal with, because they say that women especially are, you know, exposed to over 200 like toxic chemicals just in their personal care products every single day. And I know the word toxic, people are like, oh, that's like, so everyone says toxic, like there's toxic, there's chemicals in everything. Yes, but there are things that are untested. There are things that are actually proven to cause hormonal disruption, to cause irritants, to cause liver damage, to cause all of these different things. And that is tasked with our liver to deal with, even in small quantities. And so, you know, releasing that load off your body is going to help your liver do what it needs to do. And therefore, your eczema is, you know, going away. And I know this sounds like, well, I just, you know, like I was told to use, you know, the drugstore cream. I can promise you that almost everything that you are being told to use on your eczema on some sort of mainstream website is not going to do it, because it's an inside out job in the first place. It's not about a cream. But it's also like some of these creams have all the stuff that I'm telling you to stay away from as far as like cleaning up your personal care routine. And they're saying, oh, that's going to help your eczema. Yeah, maybe for a second, you won't itch for like a half hour, but it's not fixing the problem. It's a Band-Aid. And we're here to fix. We're here to heal. And you have to, yeah, just skin it down to the studs. Like, pare it back completely. Like, I don't use any fragrance pretty much on my body. If I do, I run everything through the Environmental Working Group's Skin Deep app. I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And that is where, you know, you can scan a product and it'll tell you whether it's like a green light, like go for it, this doesn't have any of the bad stuff. A yellow light, like proceed with caution, maybe don't use it every day. And a red light, meaning no, babe, don't do it. And I go by that if anything has fragrance or just anything new that I'm trying. And so in the skin class, I'm going to be sharing like a full list of products that I've like tried and tested, just to help you sort of start without feeling like, oh my God, I'm lost. Because that can be the hardest part. It's also one of the hardest parts because it's like some of the stuff we use on our body is expensive. You're like, I don't want to get rid of that. That thing cost me a lot of money. But at the same time, for me, I was in so much distress and discomfort that I was willing to do whatever it took in order to heal this little body of mine. I did a lot of stuff to heal. A lot. I mean, I saw acupuncturist. Just one. She's amazing. I saw a reflexologist again. Just one. She's amazing. I saw a naturopath, one here and one in my hometown city, Edmonton. Like, I did, you know, I bought castor oil packs. I bought supplements. I did blood work that cost me out of pocket just because of my profession. I'm not, you know, covered like that. I it took a lot of time. I now buy products that are far more expensive because they're clean and truly clean, not just like, so, you know, a certain list of clean things, but like actually clean. You know, I changed everything about my life, and that came at a cost. It just did. And like, I did, you know, all of the things from top to bottom. And between all of that, I would say that it probably cost me, and I did calculate it, but I mean, there's still ongoing costs, so I added about $500, but it probably cost me about $8,000 maybe to $9,000 from, you know, when I was actively healing. I did IVs. I, you know, met with, like, I did massage. I did Reiki to move some energy around. Like, I saw an osteopath. Like, I did everything. Do I think that I should have done all of those things? No, I don't. I didn't need some of them, but when you're shooting in the dark, you kind of just, some shots don't land. And I was ready to absorb that cost because I was in enough pain to do so. But that being said, I feel like it's important to be upfront about that fact that it cost me a lot of money to do this, but I think that there, you know, some of that cost in there is wrapped in around just like figuring it out, you know, because I was doing it on my own. I was doing it alone. And when you consider the cream, you know, the cream we all know, that steroid cream that people have the worst withdrawals from, myself included. When you have the cream that's, you know, 20-ish bucks, even if you don't have like, you know, coverage like me, but I live in Canada, so it's chill. I can understand why people choose that route. It's immediate, it's cheap, you know, it works in the moment and it gives you some semblance of feeling like this is relief. Like, I get that. And I also get being in so much discomfort that you're like, I don't want to do something that's going to take me time, because that's what this took, time. There was like a year of complete just like it happening and just like it's proliferating around my body. I don't know what's happening. So from that, from day dot, the first little itchy patch I got until I felt like fully healed, I would say was about 2 years and maybe a couple of months. And that's a long time. And I get that. A year of that was, of course, spent, you know, hounding and trying to get, you know, the medical professionals to do something for me. But it was a solid year and a year and change where I was just healing. You know, I was still itchy during some points in that time. I would still get like what I call relapses, but where, you know, I would push the boundaries and like my body just, my gut wasn't healed enough or my body wasn't healed enough. And I would try to eat something and it was like, no, we are still working through some things. And so I understand that not everyone wants to be in the trenches like that for even a week, you know, months or year and change. I get that. But I also want you to know that once you get to the other side, it's like, oh my God, you feel like it's like the most empowering thing that I think I've ever done in my entire life, because I felt completely lost at one point and nobody was helping me get found. I had to find myself. And I truly did find myself in this journey of healing because I realized that like I can do what I set my mind to, because I left my doctor's office. Well, I didn't leave my doctor's office. That's a lie. I got off that phone call because of the pandemic with my doctor and hearing the like frustration and annoy in his voice. And I thought to myself, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to be the one to do this. And I did it. And so it's just been the most empowering. Like, it just gasses me up in my like spirit and in my confidence in so many ways. And now I also just have a really good relationship with my body. There was a time where, and I certainly did some of the most punishing things, like intermittent fasting, like, you know, the HCG diet, look it up. It's insane. Herbal magic, like all of these different things. Like, I always looked at my body as like a foe. I had to beat it. I had to conquer it. I had to be victorious in order for me to be skinny or fit or healthy or whatever. And in this journey, I learned that it's about being friends with my body, having a relationship, being able to instinctually know that, like, okay, this is off or this is off, or, you know, just being in that space with my body as opposed to being in a combative one. That is what I have gotten from this journey. And while it was expensive and probably more expensive than it needed to be, I know I keep saying that, but it's a high volume amount. I still feel like it was like the best path forward, because it's also just like made me a better Bianca, a more confident Bianca, not in just, you know, how I look, but how I feel. And that's what I hope that this podcast episode does for you, because I know what it's like to be in like the darkest place with your health and feeling like nobody is helping you, nobody has any answers for you, and you're kind of just like, well, what do I do? What happens next? Like, am I just supposed to live like this? And I don't want you to feel like that. So if you have eczema, I would love for you to join the skin class, because I'm going to be sharing everything. I'm going to be peeling away the whole nine, just because it's too much to do in a podcast. It's literally going to be like a 2-hour workshop. And you also get lots of like PDFs and all that stuff, but I don't want to ramble about that. The only thing is to say is that I want you to join, because I know the feeling of feeling like, well, nobody is helping me and I don't know what to do next. And I hope that the skin class is something that opens your eyes to the fact that you can do it, and you will do it because you can. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Glow Up Tips for the Girls podcast. If you like this podcast, and I really hope you do, please leave me a rating, a review, subscribe, share. I mean, open your window and just scream out, listen to this podcast. And if you have any feedback for me, please join me on Instagram at bianca.osborne, and you can give it to me there. The good, the bad, the ugly, I welcome it all. From my lips to your ears, shine on. See you next time.